He made the bold declaration that the Lord was going to return last night. And obviously he did not. Now, I didn't just hear about this past week. I heard about it, just I'm not sure where, if it was online or if someone sent me a note. But heard about it probably over a month ago and really didn't give much thought to it because people have been date setting, and what I mean by that, setting a time and date for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ for years, centuries, in fact. In fact, there was someone, I believe, up in Worcester back in the 1800s who believed Jesus was going to return then, and of course that he did not. So I didn't give it much thought. However, as the date drew closer, there began to be a lot of publicity about the return of Jesus. In fact, it was on the news, it was on the internet. Apparently in some cities there were banners and billboards that proclaimed, and t-shirts, that Jesus was coming back May the 21st, 2011 at 6 o'clock in the evening. And out of that, there were some positive things. Now, obviously, this man was in error, and I'm not in a position to judge him or his character or motive behind what he was doing. That will leave up to the Lord. But out of this, there were some positive things. Many people have had the opportunity to share Christ with people because almost everyone has heard about the apocalypse supposedly coming yesterday. And I also think there were many people who don't know Christ as their Savior, or who maybe are people that we might describe as fence straddlers. They know they should accept the Lord, but they haven't made that commitment yet, who probably, because of their ignorance, and I don't mean that in a bad sense, or their lack of knowledge regarding what the Word of God has to say on this subject, were maybe a little nervous and contemplated their relationship with Jesus. In fact, I believe there were probably many people who got their lives right at some point this past week before 6 p.m., just in case Jesus did return. But as many good things as there were that came out of this, I believe there were also some bad things. In Christian circles, many people joked about it. I made a little joke this morning as I opened the message, and have heard jokes and have seen jokes online and things of that nature. And the reason why most believers made jokes is because they know what God's Word says, and that they know that no one, as we'll see in Scripture in just a few minutes, no one can accurately predict the return, the time, never mind the time, even the day that Jesus Christ will return. But there are other people who don't know Jesus. In fact, I'm surprised the most comments that I've seen about this issue weren't from people who knew God, but were from people who didn't know God, didn't love God, didn't serve God, didn't want to know God, but they sure knew a lot about the rapture, at least what the rapture was. And they sure took their liberty to mock and scorn what Scripture says will happen, that Jesus Christ is returning. And the credibility, another fallout. And again, I don't know much about this man's ministry other than I encourage you as pastor not to get involved with that ministry, because not only obviously this prediction was wrong, but there are other things that are quite suspect and more cultish than Christian regarding their activities. But one thing that this has done, it has definitely hurt, if not ruined forever, the credibility of this minister, that anything he says is true, making such a bold promise. But it's also hurt the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, we all know and have seen those individuals who like to protest military funerals and make comments about homosexuality and what God thinks of homosexuality, and using words that the Word of God does not use. Phelps, I believe his name is, and you know who that is. Well, he's not Christian, and he's not doing things the way God does, but there's a lot of people who don't know Christ who think that people in the Norwich Assembly of God or this Baptist church or that Full Gospel church believes just like that guy. And even though I haven't met anyone in our church or any of my colleagues, and I had a meeting with my colleagues this past week, there was no one saying, hey, we better get ready. Saturday Jesus is coming. But I bet you there's a lot of people, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, who think we're just as off kilter as this minister was. And it's discouraging to people who know Jesus when someone either fails morally, and we've seen some major evangelists make some bad mistakes. I remember, Leanne, we were in Bible college when Jimmy Swaggart and Jim Baker and all those things happened, and what a terrible time that was. Or when things such as this nature happen, it's very discouraging and demoralizing to those who are making a stand for Jesus Christ to have to, forgive the expression, face the music with their friends and family and coworkers who don't know Christ. Because you know, they're just looking. Listen, the people who are looking at your life the closest, if you're a person who has stated you know Jesus, you're serving Jesus, and you're trying your hardest to be a good living testimony, the people who are looking at you the most are people who don't know God. In some way, they're looking because there's a spiritual hunger inside, but in other ways, they're looking because, believe it or not, there's a desire in their heart for you to fail so that they can label you a hypocrite and stay comfortable in their place of doubt as far as who Jesus is. And on Monday, we all have to face the music for the actions of one man. But let me tell you, God's word will not return void. And the Bible and what the Word of God has to say about anything is nothing we should ever be ashamed of. And so, yes, the enemy has given the world and those who don't know God and love God ammunition against the church. But bless God, the Bible says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And what the enemy will mean for evil, God is going to use in your life and in my life for good this week. And I believe even though the enemy wants to make fools out of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's going to turn it around. And his name is going to be exalted. And he and his true church will be vindicated. Let me just share with you a few scriptures this morning before we begin to water baptize. And what a blessing that is. Number one, we can know that Jesus is returning. Number one, because the Word of God promises he's going to return. Jesus promises to his disciples. John chapter 14, verse 1 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. Now, he was not talking about dying. In this scripture, when he talked about going away, he wasn't talking about the crucifixion, because the Bible says in the book of Acts, when he died, he descended into hell and then rose again. He was talking about going to his Father's house. 40 days after he rose from the dead, he was with the disciples and others, and all of a sudden he ascended or lifted off from the ground, disappeared into a cloud, and then sat at the right hand of the Father to pray for them, for you and me, and for every believer until his return. But one of the things he wanted them to know in John 14 was one of the last heart-to-heart times that Jesus had with his disciples is that, yes, I'm going away, but I'm coming back. Now, that's a difficult thing to believe. No one who died ever came back. A few people were resurrected, but later they died. And here Jesus is saying he's coming back. So God reminded them, think of the disciples, think of them especially at the ascension. Here they are, and it had only been just over a month, but what they went through being with Jesus for those 3 years, and then Jesus dying and they giving up hope. They didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead until they actually saw him and were able to literally see him and touch him. You're in the seat, by the way. And then they finally get him back, and then he leaves. And I bet they weren't thinking in their heart, oh boy, he's gone, but he's coming back again. Like, I know what they were thinking. What are we going to do now? But God did not leave them comfortless. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 says, as they were looking right after Jesus ascended, as they were looking intently up in the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Beautiful. Wonderful. God knew their heart. God knew what they were going through. He knew their emotions. He even knew their doubt. And he blessed them. And he spoke to their doubt by sending them a heavenly messenger, an angel, to remind him of those words that he shared just a few weeks prior, that I'm coming back. If I go, I will return. And this was something, and I read one article about this whole date-setting issue this past week, and on one news site, the article, in making reference to the rapture, said that the rapture was a relatively new teaching within the church. And I thought to myself, new teaching? Well, I guess if you're talking, comparing it to the Ten Commandments, yes, it would be newer. But as far as the early church, that was part of the full gospel message, that Jesus was returning. Paul preached it. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the day of the Lord, which talks about the Lord's return, will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. John, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, says, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. What is this saying? This is saying these men who needed that extra encouragement when Jesus, and Jesus just didn't disappear. He ascended. He went up into heaven. They knew exactly where he was going. What a moment of awe that must have been. There was no question among those witnesses where Jesus went. We all know there's no tomb where you can find the remains of Jesus, because he ascended to the right hand of the Father. Yet they still needed that comfort and that encouragement They weren't sure. We now see in their ministry that they were not only convinced of, they preached regularly and they preached with authority. They knew it was going to happen, that Jesus was going to return. In fact, not only did they know, but the church itself believed assuredly that Jesus Christ was coming again. In fact, their belief was so strong, they expected it to happen in their lifetime. How do we know that? Well, the reason why Paul, and I read one of Paul's teaching about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The reason why Paul brought that up was because people in the church were concerned that the people who knew Jesus who died would miss out on the return of Christ and the resurrection. They believed it so much that they were more than grieved in their heart over those who had died. They didn't want them to miss. Paul himself believed it. We who are alive and remain will be caught up to be in the Lord, at least at that point in his ministry. It was real. And they preached it with authority. And they had their challenges as well. People, the religious leaders, were putting out false stories about what happened to Jesus. Oh, his disciples stole the body. He didn't rise from the dead. And how do you deal with that? But they did. And they were successful. I don't know what you're going to face tomorrow with whoever you come in contact with. But I dare say there's going to be some here, and maybe not everybody, but some here who are going to face someone who's just going to say, "Ha! Gotcha." Don't back down. And don't be afraid. Because God's word will not return void. Listen, there's three verses from one chapter which correct what that man did, but also preach the truth to share. And listen, it's just like, and is not God our Heavenly Father? When your parents said something once, you might do it, but you might not. If they said it twice, you pretty well thought about doing it. If they said it three times, you knew you better do it. Not once, not twice, but three times in the Lord Jesus Christ teaching about his return did Jesus say, no one knows when it's going to happen. They're found in Matthew chapter 24, within eight verses of each other. Verse 36, about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Matthew 24:42. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Matthew 24:44. So you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour where you do not expect him. A couple things, and Jerry, you can return if you'd like this morning. A couple things about this. Number one, the message of Jesus' return is simply this: be ready. He is coming. But what the chief thing that Jesus Christ, and actually all the other scriptures, is trying to communicate in the fact, in the promise. And let me tell you, there'll be people, scoffers, and that's the bad thing. What happened yesterday has fed into people who scoff or mock or who doubt the word of God and the words of Jesus. And so, and they're out there, and it's going to happen. But two things about these scriptures. Actually three. The first thing is that we know God's promises are true. And someone might come to you and say, well, how do you know Jesus is coming? This guy was wrong. Jesus said he was coming, and everything else he has said has come to pass. There's people that you trust when they say something, and then there's people that you don't trust. Why do you trust some and you don't trust others? Well, there's certain people. I trust my wife because she's always been honest with me. Sometimes too honest. No, I'm not, just kidding. But I trust her because she's always been honest. So if she tells me something, I know she's telling me the truth. But there's other people I don't necessarily... I take what they have and say, okay, but let's see if time proves it out, because they have shown themselves not to be trustworthy. Jesus has shown himself to be trustworthy. Every promise in Scripture, all the Old Testament promises regarding who the Messiah was going to be, have come to pass. And everything that God's word and Jesus himself said would happen to those who believe on him have happened. And it's happened in my life. I'm a brand new person. I am forgiven. I am blessed. I have peace beyond measure. All confirming to the truth of who Jesus is, and what, and that we can trust what Jesus says. So we can trust God. And God's word says, no one knows. Let me tell you, it could happen tonight at 6. And whenever anyone comes at you with a lie, or, you know, and basically it was a false prophecy, we come back to them with the word, it turns the whole situation around from being on the defensive to the offensive. Listen, the Bible says this. Not only that no one knows the hour, but we need to be ready because it can happen at any time. What are you going to do about it? And we don't say that to shut them up. We say that so for them to think, am I ready to meet the Lord if the Lord was going to come today? It doesn't seem like a big deal if it's going to happen 100 years ago. I got plenty of time to live the way I want. Maybe on my deathbed I'll ask Jesus into my life. Jesus might come today. There's a lot of signs. I had more that I was going to share, but I feel that I should just close right now. And let me tell you, the thing that will enable you to stand boldly and to speak confidently of the return of Jesus, even in the light of the foolishness that happened last night, is the same thing that happened to the disciples: the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll help you. He'll give you confidence to stand, and not only stand and take it. And that's, in a sense, when people are hurling things against us, we stand against it. That's a sense, in a sense, that's like turning the other cheek. But even though we might have to turn the other cheek, doesn't mean we have to close our mouths. Amen? Share with them the word. The Holy Spirit will not only lead and guide you as far as what to say, but it'll also give you the confidence to say it, so that the words you share are not just your words, but they're words from the Spirit of God, anointed words. And you know what? They might laugh in your face, but I tell you, at some point, if you share the Word of God with someone, the Holy Spirit's going to bring that to mind. In Jesus' name, we're going to pray. And before we pray, I'd just like to ask everyone, bow your heads and close your eyes. I hope everyone here, if Jesus does return today, and he could, is ready. Maybe you heard about March 22nd, and maybe you didn't. But the thought of Jesus coming, and when Jesus returns, he's first going to return in the clouds and take those people who have put their faith and their trust, who have repented of their sins, he's going to take them to be with him. And if you don't know Jesus, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life to forgive you of your sins, you haven't placed your faith and your hope in him, then you won't be able to be caught up or raptured with Jesus. And there's no reason why you can't, because that gift of forgiveness is for everyone who, according to the Bible, calls upon the name of the Lord. If you're here, you're not ready to meet Jesus.